Blog Talk Radio.
Put your right hand over your heart and your left hand on your Bloody Mary glass coffee cup or old-fashioned if you're feeling bold this morning. It's From the Spot, presented by the Titans Pro Shop and a presentation of Haspen Sports. I'm Dan Bradley. He's Chris Jones. Good Saturday morning, and this is one you've been working for quite a time to get off the ground. So a preemptive congratulations on Nashville FC's maiden voyage into the NPSL today. Good morning, Chris.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, it's a big weekend for soccer all around. I mean, I've got my kids' game as soon as the show's over with, get ready to go to that. So then as soon as that's over with, going to Knoxville to watch NFC's first match that you spoke about. And then, of course, Sunday is Championship Sunday. And, I don't know what's probably the bigger story, if it's who's gonna secure the top or the fact that Sunderland is now secure. I mean, to me, looking at this, man, that's almost more impressive than anything else that's happened this year. I mean, these guys were what? They were bottom of the table around Christmas. With six games left, there were 7 points in relegation. And of those six games, it was Manchester City, Chelsea, and Manchester United all away. And they're clear with one game to spare. So in five games, they made 8 points. I mean, it's just amazing that the run that they've been on.
Yeah, since their loss 1-0 to Everton, and before that they got thumped by Tottenham 5-1.
Lost to West Ham. That was rough.
This is where this came from. They lose 2-1 to Liverpool, lose 2-1 to West Ham. They go to Tottenham, get spanked 5-1, and then they host Everton. They lose on a fluky goal from De La Feu. From then, since April 16th. 2-2 at Manchester City, 2-1 at Chelsea, 4-0 home to Cardiff, beating United at United 1-0, and then beating West Brom at home. And talk about great escapes. This one probably goes all time as probably one of the greatest escapes. And this is not some club with some dinky ground like Crystal Palace a few years ago. Sunderland's got resources. Sunderland has a gorgeous facility. They have a little bit of pedigree to their name. This is a club that could be dangerous if they ever decide to allocate their resources properly. I mean, they've got some decent talent on their roster whenever they decide to deploy them properly, but they've made some bad transfers. And I'm happy for them to stay up. I think the Premier League is a better place with Sunderland in the top flight, and we're going to see them there for at least another year.
Yeah, I mean, if you just get any, I had some media pop up on my screen there. it could be a number of people's fault. It could be the lack of opportunities for Josie. It could just be Josie not making the best of the opportunities that he gets, so he can build confidence off of it. So it's however you want to spin it. But if they got any production out of Josie Altidore, you got to think that would have counted for 6 to 9 more points over the course of a season.
And he's not joking when he says any production out of Josie Altidore, because in reality, any production would have been better than what he put out, because there wasn't anything to speak of.
No, I mean, a prime example, you look at the last game against, was it Manchester United?
West Brom.
West Brom, yeah. There he is. I mean, he's within five yards of the goal. All he's got to do is just one time. It can hit off anything, hit off his knee, hit off his stomach, just do anything to make it go forward, and he knocks it right. It just kind of sums up his season so far.
Now, I think he would be better suited in a situation. I know he's not going to go to Chelsea, because Chelsea have all the resources to go out and get a top-flight striker, or even better, keep Lukaku on their roster. if they wanted to, unless they're going to go after Diego Costa from Atletico. But he would be suited in an offense that where he can be, and this sounds incredibly terrible, but he can be Shaq. He's got this huge frame. All he has to be is just a target guy, like Lassana Traore it can be from time to time. That just big body guy who can just deflect things in. I think he'd be better suited going to the Serie A or someplace where there's some league where it's a slower pace where he can just park it right inside the 18-yard box and direct traffic in the net.
Yeah, or even like a secondary type league. You know, maybe I hate to call it French league secondary, but let's face it, outside of PSG, I mean, there is no Lyon's not what it used to be, and you know, some of the other teams there. So maybe like the French league, you know, get in a squad there, or he'll go back to the Dutch league. He needs to be the man on one of the better teams in that league to get his confidence back. Where he is now, you know, surrounded by, and we saw this in some of the National FC tryouts, to be perfectly honest with you. We saw some really good players that if they were in a group with some players that they really had no business being in, you could see it just brought their talent level down. You know, and not to say Josie doesn't need to take some of the responsibility, but he could have been partial victim to that.
Yeah, it's all about flow pattern, too. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that it's Josie Altidore and the 11 members of the Argentinian national team. It's Sunderland. You know, Sunderland does have some talent there, but again, it's their flow pattern throughout the entire year has been awkward, to say the least. And getting him to the ball in the right situation, that's been half the problem, but the other half is, you touched on, the guy has no confidence right now. I always thought he could be someone kind of like a Darren Bent or someone similar to a Lassana Traore, just that big target guy, but he may have to go back to square one, and I think the French league, like you mentioned, may be a good place for that because there's such a bizarre league where you have these odd transfers coming in. You have clubs like PSG and Monaco that can just throw out crazy amounts of cash to get any player they really want. And then you have teams like Marseille and Lyon who have had success before in the past that are typically big revenue clubs but are looking to rebrand and looking to rebuild. There's a pedigree there for it. But coming up to this weekend, we got to talk a little bit about Liverpool. And this just brings a big old Texas-sized smile to my face about this. But when you look at the all-time chokes in the history of this game, how does losing 3-0 to Palace sound just on that list? Or not losing 3-0, but losing a 3-0 lead
right
at Palace go. The title was there on a platter.
Well, this is, I mean, it's the age-old story of, you know, greed. They got up 3-0, and you could see it. It was, they were in a hurry. Every time they scored, they wanted to get back. They wanted to score more. It was not, let's keep the 3 points and fight, you know, and live to fight another day. It was, let's keep pushing. How many can we score? Can we get this goal difference closer in our favor and catch up to Manchester City? And they fell victim to their own greed. You know, they, by pushing forward and you know, being greedy like that, they left some holes and they left some opportunities for Crystal Palace. And credit to Crystal Palace, you know, they needed some points. They wanted to make a point, and in a matter of 10 minutes, it was just goal, goal, goal.
Yeah, and Crystal Palace, to their credit, they've been on an absolutely incredible run as of late, with the exception of that Manchester City result. That's a club that no one wants to play. They lose 2-0 to Manchester City, but other than that, they've been on a really good run of form as of late. And Palace, I mean, we see this at the end of the year. I mean, a lot of these clubs are fighting for that top 10 spot. We really don't know what to expect from Palace next year. This is a club 2 years ago that's just happy to be in the Premier League. But there's no excuse for Liverpool to do this. I mean, they're not going to make up a 10-goal difference right now. As it stands right now, they're a 13-goal difference. If the game had ended at 3-0, they still have a 10-goal difference to make up. I think that may be one of the only missteps that Brendan Rodgers has made all year. And credit to him, because Liverpool is years ahead of schedule with how good they've played. But so it looks like barring an absolute collapse by City, which don't rule anything out, it's City's title to win. It's either going to be City or Liverpool, unfortunately, even though I still think Chelsea may be the better team of the three, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those where Chelsea called a couple teams that got hot for the right at the right time for them, but at the bad time for Chelsea. You know, they called a Sunderland that had turned their season around. They called a Crystal Palace that had, you know, that's been on a decent little run of form, and they dropped points there, whether it was a straight-up loss or it was a draw. But, you know, they didn't win the games they needed to win, so they got no one to blame, you know, but themselves. But to me, it's interesting going into the last week of the season here, or last day of the season, I guess you'd say, that you've got the title spot on the line. You've got the relegation zone is pretty much summed up, but then you still got the Europa spot out there, kind of in limbo with Everton and Tottenham. So a lot of fun stuff going on this weekend.
Everton's already got that locked up. Unless Tottenham makes up a 19-goal difference, it's going to Everton.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I didn't pay attention to the goal difference. So it's the same kind of situation with the relegation, because there's only 3 points difference. But it's something like 17 goals separate them.
Correct. The West Brom look like they've survived another year, and that's another club that just seems year after year get by with the skin of their teeth. And they make smart transfers.
They had a great coach the last few years. Not this year, because he's at Everton, but they've had a great coach that's been a big part of why they've stayed up the last 4 or 5 years also.
Well, also they had Lukaku on their side last year.
That makes a big difference. And both of them are at Everton this year.
Yeah, Everton's going to be at Hull City tomorrow. It's kind of a meaningless game for them. Arsenal look like they have secured the final four or the final Champions League spots. The only difference, it looks like they can't even catch Chelsea with the another 18-goal difference. So the top four set, it just depends on which order you're going to go in. Now, the only caveat as far as Europe goes is that if Hull City beat Arsenal in the FA Cup final, that means that, Hull City goes into the – let me see if I get this correct. Hull City is going to go to Europe no matter what happens. If Hull City beat Arsenal, I believe they go straight to the group stage, whereas Everton will have to go to the qualification stage. If Hull City lose the final, Everton go to the group stage, and Hull City goes to the qualification round, which we've debated before on this show about the weight of carrying that Europa League roster around. In the Europa League, it's almost a death sentence as far as how many games it is and how short amount of time. Frankly, I really just want Everton just to play the group stage, play a few games against some notable teams, and bow out around the quarterfinals, because I just don't want every game on a Thursday. That ends up sapping your roster for Saturday.
I mean, that's been kind of the death, like you said, the death blow for Tottenham the last few years. You'd almost want to see them pull. There was a couple teams in the MPSL that were supposed to go to the Lamar Open Cup up in the Great Lakes division, and two teams turned down the opportunity because of just finances, roster, and blah, blah, blah. So it's almost like you want to see Tottenham pull one of those where they're like, thanks, but no thanks. You can let Manchester United take it, or whoever. Because at this point, let's be honest, Manchester United would love to be able to claim the Europa next year.
Yeah, that'd be pretty awkward for them, but there are some quality clubs in it. Like, I think Juventus is going to be in it this next year. I still can't get excited for it. I really can't. I mean, when you're playing a home match against Aberdeen, you might as well get together your local charities and donate them so you can get a tax write-off.
I will say, though, that Everton probably would get a better title sponsor by doing so. So that means that that could be the saving grace, and you know, with that bigger title sponsor, you can maybe go out there and get someone to replace Lukaku when he goes back to Chelsea, and maybe some of the, you know, one or two other players that are on loan right now, or will be returning back to their clubs that are on loan with Everton.
That sounds good, but they went ahead and signed and they renewed their deal with Chang, the Thai beer, again, well before they even secured the spot.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they already signed their club deal with Umbro for next year's kit too. So even though their revenues are almost are about what, 50% up from last year, so they'll be able to replace the Kaku if and sign their own guy or something like that. I'm not too worried about the financial state of them anymore. The ending question that I'm going to leave that I'm really curious about, and I wish we had an Arsenal fan at least to poke fun at him at, but how much longer do you think Wenger is going to have that spot? And it's something I feel like that we discuss every year with this, but just because he's the longest tenured guy, I mean, Fergie moved on. This is another year where Arsenal's, I wouldn't say stagnant, but it seems like they're just happy to claim a top four spot every year. I mean, they tried this year bringing in Mesut Ozil, and Ozil did not live up to expectations. I think Arsenal have better players on their reserves sometimes than how Ozil fit in the system. How much more time does Wenger have there?
Well, it's funny though, because if you think back preseason, we sat here on the same show and said that if Arsene Wenger gets Arsenal in the top four, he should be coach of the year. And
that
now that they do finish top
transfer,
four, though. I know. But now that they did finish top four, we're asking how much longer does this last? And I'm with you. I thought the same thing. I'm like, how much longer is you know, just making it to Champions League okay in the Emirates? And honestly, I don't know that answer, but it's funny how it's all relative to how a season goes and how, you know, somebody like Giroud gets hot and expectations now are back up to, well, they should win the title, you know. So I would say he's probably got a couple more years, just because I couldn't think of a candidate that would replace him, because if you let Wenger go, there's 20 quality clubs that are waiting in the wings, stalking him at night outside of his door, waiting for him to eat his breakfast and pour his milk for him, because he is a quality coach. It's just, I don't know, they're just not getting it done.
No, and you know that PSG would be knocking on his door the next day, because that's a club that's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's a club that has the resources, that has the roster, that can let him have free reign on it. And I'm not going to sit here and belittle the EPL, because it is the most lucrative and arguably the best football league in the world. But there are some things that some people just prefer Paris to London. Let's just put it that way. You know, some people like seeing the sun. I think he would have a little bit more. I think he would have more fun in the transfer market, just being able to spend limitless amounts of money, not have to worry about paying off a stadium debt. Because while Emirates is nice and has crazy amount of revenue coming in, because it has things that other parks don't have, and it's much better than Highbury as far as revenue goes. Still, it's a massive bill.
Yeah, I'm just shocked that. And this is no breaking insight. I'm just shocked that they haven't gone out there and spent the money, even if they have to go into the red a little bit, to get a big striker, to get that guy that, you know, if he has an opportunity and he's got a clear shot at the goal, it's gonna go in. So I mean, to me, that's the most shocking thing. And not as much as they finished fourth or almost finished fifth, is they still. Maybe they will in the summer transfer window, but they still have not found that striker to replace Van Persie.
No, they really haven't. And if nothing else, I mean, call up Barcelona, call up Real Madrid, loan somebody, or bring in somebody on loan to be able to fill that gap. If you're not going to spend the money to, you know, to pay for someone outright, let them. I mean, look what Liverpool did this year. I mean, for as much credit as they get for making some smart transfers, they did some smart loans. And that's what set that attack up. I mean, if you have being able to get Daniel Sturridge on loan, smart move.
Well, we're talking about Liverpool a little bit there. You never want to see someone getting upset and things like that, but I've got mixed emotions with them possibly not winning the title. If it wasn't for Suarez, I would be rooting for them. I don't know if rooting for them is probably the right word, but I definitely would be more in favor of them winning than Manchester City, just because it's been, 20, 25 years since Liverpool's last won it. Now look, their trophy case is not empty, so that they're doing okay. But I can't find myself pulling for them because of Suarez. He's such an unlikable person. It's an unlikable character that it's hard to root for them.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I can't, as bad as evil as Manchester City seems, just with how they've, with who is their owner and who is their, I still can't pull for Liverpool. Still, I mean, not just that, bitter Everton fan aspect of it. I can't pull for them because of Suarez. Because when I look up, why are they so good this year? It's Suarez, and it's not putting it all on him. But man, if you take Suarez off that roster and you put in, Wilfred Bony, or someone comparable to him, I don't think they are where they are this year.
Yeah, no, if you took him out and just put something like a Demba Ba, right? I mean, it's still a quality striker, but just not Suarez, obviously. They're fighting for Europa at this point.
Yeah, they're
give credit where credit's due. Sterling's been great. I think he's going to be a great addition to the England squad. Sturridge has been great once he got healthy and was able to play. And even Victor Moses wasn't too bad for them on loan from Chelsea. He had a pretty decent season. So, and then there's the love affair with Skrtel and the head coach over there. Skrtel's another one. I would not like at all.
No, Coutinho Oslam's had himself a kind of a hit in this year.
Exactly.
He was streaky.
Yeah.
He was streaky. But I remember when I was on vacation in Florida, we talked a bit about just the Chelsea strikers. Samuel Eto'o had himself I wouldn't say it's a renaissance, but he had a very quiet 9-goal season. Not done yet. Again, I don't think it's so much it has to do with the lineup for Chelsea. I think it just comes down to how they're used. And I think Eto'o has been much more been much better in that role than Fernando Torres. That's a guy. Fernando Torres could be a guy who's on the move this year. And where do you think he ends up landing? Where do you think he fits best now?
Well, see, that's the weird thing is, first half of the season, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, he's gone, Demba Ba's gone, El Torres could be going back to Atletico Madrid. But now looking at it, I don't know. If Eto'o is really gone, he may have less of a role next year, maybe he's not content with that. But I don't think that Mourinho is going to want to get rid of him because he's, depending on the dollars and things like that, he's, like you said, he's had a quietly productive season relative to, the striker production at Chelsea. I mean, he's been one of the more productive ones. So, I mean, I don't know. But Chelsea doesn't play an attacking style, or they didn't play an attacking style this year. You look at Pellegrini of Manchester City. He recently had a little dig at Mourinho and saying how, he likes to win when he was playing Aston Villa. He's like, we like to win this way. We like to win actually attacking the goal. That's a little dig towards Mourinho, which is fine because Jose does it every single week to whoever they play against. But, yeah, I mean, that's just not this season. I don't know if it's going to be that way going forward. Attacking is not his way of doing things. So maybe, midfield and things like that, going after another back line guy is more his style.
Yeah, I can see that. I think that I really could see him. I see them holding on to Eto'o just because he's what managers, no matter what sport you're talking about, whether you're talking about hockey, basketball, any time of a similar game like this, they want dependability. And Eto'o may not be spectacular, but he's dependable. He's going to do exactly what you expect him to do. He's not going to play out of his. He's not going to try too hard and make mistakes. Not saying he doesn't give effort out there, but you know what you're going to get with Samuel Eto'o. Demba Ba still figuring himself out as well. I wouldn't be surprised to. If they go after Costa, and that makes perfect sense for them to sell off Fernando Torres. Fernando Torres, I think, is again the guy who's going to end up like we talked about earlier in the French league, or maybe even back at Atletico. That sounds silly enough, but that's where he buttered his bread way back before Liverpool bought him, and he made Atletico relevant back then in the mid 2000s.
He was El Nino. He was the kid.
Yeah, it makes too much sense for it to happen, so it won't happen.
Well, especially if you believe the rumors of all these people targeting. Atletico's big striker, his name's escaping me right now, but if you believe
Costa?
That and the money comes, huh?
Costa?
I think that's right, yeah. If the money comes calling, Atletico's gotta, I mean, just like they've done with some of their other, you know, top players the last few years, they've gotta consider it. And if that's the case, you know, maybe they take a run at Torres and say, we'll take him off your hands, not for the price tag that you know, he's been getting paid each week, but I could see it. You know, if they're in need for a striker, and maybe it revitalizes his confidence and his scoring ability being back home.
But after this year, I think the price to get Costa out of Madrid going to be pretty high, because the one complaint that you and I have had about the Spanish league is that there's not that third team to push Barcelona Real. If you look at the La Liga table right now, they're 3 points clear. Atletico Madrid is 3 points clear. Everyone has 36 games played, and they don't have the goal differential that Barcelona or Real have, so they can't slip up. But
you know they play the last game of the season, right?
Let's see. Next, like they play. Not even just that. They play Malaga next. They hit Malaga tomorrow. Week after that, they're at Barcelona. Week after that, they're at Real. So.
Yeah.
Good luck. But this is not like Atletico can't beat Barcelona. I mean, they did knock him out of the Champions League. And Atletico also have that Champions League tussle with Real in the last week of the season. So,
I mean, one could argue it's not as many teams, because we've seen a lot of turnover in the top four this year in the EPL. But one could argue that Serie A has got a case to say, look, we're just as exciting this year as the EPL. We've got three teams, and those three teams play each other in some shape or fashion the last couple weeks of the season.
You're talking about Serie A or La Liga?
Oh, I'm sorry. I said Serie A. I meant La Liga.
Because Serie A right now, Juventus are 11 points clear of Roma, and I'm looking at the Serie A table.
Yeah, I meant La Liga.
Ah, you're cool. AC Milan is, no joke, 40 points behind Juventus. This is the same club that we all grew up with that was owning the Champions League back in that Serie A dominant stage.
Yeah.
It's
either them or Inter Milan every year.
Yeah, and Inter is only a paltry, they're right around 39 points off the pace. Juventus, after that match-fixing scandal that caused them to get relegated, man, this is dominance. They've only lost two games the entire Serie A season.
That's insane. It's weird to think that big clubs like AC Milan and Inter can fall so far. You know, it's well documented Manchester United's fall this season, but even that being, they're still, you know, top six, top seven, whatever that is, and they're not. You know, a huge gap off. I mean, they're like, what, 20 points off the pace?
Yeah, something respectable,
unfortunately.
Yeah, it's something respectable. I mean, there's still that threat that Manchester United has the talent to go out there and do it. If you're AC Milan this year, is that you don't have, there's not that belief. with Inter, even with the roster that they have, I mean, Juventus this year have just turned in a winning lottery ticket. I mean, United is a solid 20 points off the pace from Manchester City. That sounds bad. Then you compare to comparing it to the two Milan teams to Juventus, 40 points is a huge difference.
it's pretty impressive. And you got Benitez, that Rafa Benitez has had a productive year for Napoli. Last I checked, they're like what, third,
they're
something
third.
Like that.
They're third.
For Napoli, that's pretty damn good. So, Rafa Benitez, kudos for him. He kind of got a bad rap in Liverpool, in my opinion. Did well at Chelsea, I believe. And, because of that, landed in Napoli in a good situation.
Everywhere he's went, he has won in a short span of time. Rafa Benitez, if you look across, if that's a guy that you want, if you're a mid-level Premier League team and you want to make a splash, Rafa Benitez, if you can get him to come over, there's a you can do a lot worse than Rafa Benitez.
Kind of like the National Predators' new coach. That's a different show.
Yeah. I'm pretty happy about that, but we won't get too into that.
Keep him for 2, maybe 3 years and then get rid of him.
I mean,
He does well.
I mean, everywhere he's went, Valencia did pretty good there. Liverpool, we all know what happened in Liverpool. He got a very under-talented Liverpool team, win the Champions League, brought him back to the final a few years later. Goes to Inter Milan, not too great. Goes to Chelsea, that's pretty good there. He's still a young guy, too. He's born in 1960. He's got plenty of lead left in the pencil. You can do a lot worse than Rafa Benitez.
Well, there's still a lot more that we could talk about. We're running close on time here. We got, obviously, we mentioned earlier, Nashville FC's got our first game today up in Knoxville. We got the result down in Huntsville last weekend. Unfortunately, I was in Dallas and couldn't attend, but a little preseason I-65 Cup, one of the strikers, Azmir, got two of those goals, and it was actually both assists, I believe, were from Elliot Goodwin, who is from the UK, a quick little winger on the outside. But good confidence builder for the team. Looks like the squad's going to be pretty solid. But that's the thing about the NPSL, for those that don't follow it, there's so much turnover from year to year. All these guys sign one-year contracts, and they're basically just non-compete contracts. They're not, you're going to get a salary or things like that. So from year to year, these guys bounce around a lot, whether it's because, they go to school, let's say one's from Nashville, but he goes to school in Knoxville. Well, or around Knoxville. It's one of those where, okay, this year, do I want to go back home and live with my parents and play for Nashville, or do I want to stay up here in Knoxville and probably play with some of my teammates from college, but I have to rent an apartment? So there's a lot of things like that kind of create turnover. So I guess the long-winded point is this year you never know. You never know if the team's going to be good, bad, average. But I will say our division is probably the toughest in the NPSL. You've got Chattanooga FC, give credit where credit's due. They won the division last year, have great supporters. So you got to think they'll be pretty solid. You got Georgia Revolution, who won their division last season, and now they're transplanted into our division. And then the reemergence of Atlanta Silverbacks reserve squad. Anytime you have a reserve squad of a professional organization, they're probably not going to be a slouch. So you just kind of keep going down there, and we feel like we're pretty good. So it should be a pretty exciting year. I don't think you'll see any one team running away with it. It'll probably come down to that last game on July 4th to determine, who's going to win the division or who's going to finish in that top four, kind of like a Champions League. And from that top four, you advance to the regional and then national tournament. So anybody that can come out to Knoxville later on this tonight, we look forward to having you. If not, first home game is May 24th. Season tickets are available online on the website for $35, or it's $7 general admission per game. So You can either walk up every day and pay 42 total or get them up front for 35.
And it's a gorgeous facility over there in Vanderbilt as well. And from what I understand it is, we've actually got a little bit of an agreement with a local establishment, too, as far as a good place for pre-gaming, do we not?
Yeah, right now everyone's been meeting up at Jed's for pre-game stuff and things like that. We're actually in some talks with maybe securing a post-match location. So we'll see about how that's going to work. This location includes a 120-inch projected screen. There should be some fun things there. Looking to maybe even, because we've got one away game that will be streamed live, the Rocket City match. So maybe we can work out a deal with either Jed's or this other location to stream that match there. We can go there, enjoy some beers, and watch us bring home some points. And then all the home games will be live streamed. So the benefit of that, you may ask, you know, why would you do that? You might keep people from coming to games and blah, blah, blah. Well, the live streaming is not just going to be just like an open source live streaming. It's going to be either locked down for our out-of-town members, so our members will get a code, or you'll be able to pay a small fee and get a code to unlock the stream if you're local. Because we do want to encourage people to come out. That's how we create the great environments, and let's face it, that's how the club can stick around with attendance and revenue. So, but it should be fun. We're going to have a weekly coaches show that's live streamed over the internet. People can submit emails and ask the coach questions about the previous week and the upcoming match. And we're excited. We feel like we're doing some fun things that most NPSL clubs either don't think of, don't want to deal with, or just can't afford. So we're fortunate.
Are you know what the easiest way to go about all this is, though, Chris? Become a founder. How can someone become a founder?
They have until, what time is it now?
It is 9:37 Central Time. Mm-hmm.
They have until noon. Noon, the cutoff to be a founding member starts then. After that, we'll no longer offer founding memberships, and people may go, what's that? Well, it's basically you're one of the people that helped us get off the ground. You know, you got an exclusive scarf that we'll never sell again. It literally says on there that you're a founder. You get your voting rights. You get free admission to all regular season home games. And then year two, we'll do some fun stuff. We're looking at a couple of different possibilities. Thinking maybe doing family memberships. We're thinking about, increasing the membership a little bit to improve a jersey because those are pretty expensive. But all of that will be the great thing about our club is all of that will be voted on and decided by our members. It's not just a group of guys making a decision that's going to affect everyone. It's not just a deep pocket owner that, you know, decides, I want to squeeze $5 or $10 out of each person and see if I can get away with it. We as a club make those decisions. So, yeah, come on out, support us. Even if you can't be a founding member and you want to just come and watch a couple games, so be it. Come on out, we'll have a good time.
That's what we want to hear. All right, we'll go ahead and let you I know you got one of your kids' soccer games today. I had no idea you had that going on, so you're probably the busiest guy like in like the entire Metro Nashville area. Possible.
Yes, we got Has-Been Sports and things like that. We had a good meeting. We're probably going to start doing more events with Has-Been Sports, with the good people over at maybe Marathon Music Works. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. So,
we got
some pretty fun stuff coming down the pipeline for Has-Been Sports, and got a meeting with a local radio station that we'll talk about a little bit off air. So, yeah, so you're still going to go with me to the game, right?
Not only that, check your emails. You may get something from PayPal here in a second.
Oh, good deal, man. Hi, buddy. Well,
for those who didn't know, I actually finally submitted the paperwork to become a founder for Nashville FC, just like you can, at NashvilleFC.net. That was all I had. I will see you later on this afternoon. I hope to see everybody else down there as well. Any parting words or any words of encouragement for your Chelsea guys this weekend?
Don't screw up.
The great last words there. All right, you can follow him on Twitter at Chris Jones, C Jones HBS. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan D Bradley. You can follow us all at Has Been Sports. So, Chris, I'll see you later on this afternoon. Everybody else, hope I see everybody down there at the game. If not, we'll catch you next week. This has been From the Spot, presented by Has Been Sports. See y'all soon.
Thanks, everyone.